18. Luke chapter 18. Kyle, would you hand these out for me? Luke chapter 18, as we get into the word this morning. Thank you for being here and being a part of the church service. I pray you've gotten some help and enjoyed the music. Last week I went up to Brother Doyle's, and it was a blessing to get around Brother Doyle and them, and to be able to sing and preach a little bit for them. And good to see Brother John Ashley. He has, in spite of ministries and dealing a lot with the deaf and others with different struggles, they're having a get together or something the next couple days. Babe, I left it on your desk. I didn't know if it was something we wanted to go to or not. Did you see it on your table? Okay, it's right there. Anyway, they have a gentleman that lost his sight as a soldier in Iraq, and he's coming to give his testimony and be a help to folk. And I'm praying about whether I'll be able to go. But here, Brother John Ashley, good man of God, and he's preached here a couple times over the years. And then Brother Matt Leithley, to see him and some of those. Met a new missionary couple, Trent and Jameson's the last name. And they're from Bourbonnais, Illinois. Bourbonnais, Illinois is a southwestern suburb of Chicago. And they're about 90 miles north of Champaign-Urbana. And we kind of hit it off. It was a real blessing. And they sang together. And we Mike and I sat there and cut up. And Sister Terry and Brother Trent said to me afterwards, he says, "You're the first preachers that have ever appreciated us being around." So how long have you been on deputation? I said, over a year. I said, yeah, you'll get out there and you get a bunch of old fuddy-duddies and they don't know how to laugh and make fun of each other and enjoy each other's company. And he said, it kind of broke my heart. He pulled me aside. I was getting ready to go. And he told Mike this too later on, I found out. He said, "You're the only preachers really that have suggested things. Most preachers say, this is the way you ought to do it. This is the way you ought to do it." I said, "Well, brother, I'm hoping you'll listen to God before you listen to us." And as I was looking at been studying here in Luke 18, I wanted to go into the next section, but last week we saw the idea of what we could be, and that's the Pharisee. Every one of us can be this. Look at Luke chapter 18, and I was going to, verse number 9, look with me if you would. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves." Now watch that statement. Remember that statement we looked at? "Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." That's who we could be. Ones that trust ourselves, one that think we're righteous. How many times have you thought you were right and come to find out you were wrong? Yeah. And that's what we could be. And we get dogmatic about it. We get set in our ways. We get stubborn. And then all of a sudden, I have to go back to my music. Hey, everybody. Kenny was hiding my music from me. I know he was. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But Kenny says, and he does it in such a way, "Pastor, I know where your music's at." You know, in reality, what he wanted to say, "Hey, dummy, I know where it's at. What's wrong with you?" Where do we start, right, Kenny? Brother Kenny knew exactly where my music was, and he was right, and I was wrong. And we have such a struggle. But that's who we could be. Trusting in ourselves, thinking that we are righteous, and then despising others. I despise Islamic doctrine. I despise Seventh-day Adventist thought. I despise the Mormon philosophy. I despise everything about Catholicism, the idolatry of Catholicism. I despise some of the preachers I've been around and what their doctrine is. But it's amazing to me how that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The very ones that put the nails into His hands and His feet, He despised what they thought, but loved them enough to die and arise again for them. How does God do that? Well, today I want us to look at the fact of who we should be. If you would, read with me verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as one of these other men. Lord God, thank you that I'm not a Wolverine fan. God, thank you that I'm not an Ohio State fan. God, thank you that I am not like this, or I'm not like that, or God, I am so wonderful to me. This earth is blessed because I'm on it. And God, you are better off with knowing me and having me in your family. That's exactly how some believers think. Don't that pastor know, and I've literally had a woman say this to me, well, my husband is the chairman of the deacon board. Well, la-dee-da. Don't you know you're supposed to kiss the ring and kiss the feet when I walk into the room? You know, beloved, we're that away if we're not careful. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners. You know, he's pointing specifically to that publican. Unjust, boy, there has never been a human being to ever stand before God and say they were unjust. They were just. That's why you need the doctrine of justification. He says, I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Well, the Bible tells us if you look on a woman with lust, you're an idolater. Or even as this publican, for sake of a better illustration, it would be me saying, you know, I am glad I'm not that Josh Richards guy. I am so glad that I don't wear that tie he wears. I don't act the way he does. I don't this. I am so glad, God, that I'm not like him. Thank you, Lord, for sparing me from being like Caden. Thank you, God, that I am... That is so foolish, isn't it? But that's who we could be. He says in verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Boy, I am somebody. Well, we saw last week that's who we could be. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off. See how far he is? Would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. You're going to be brought low, face down in the dirt, lower than a snail's belly. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is who I should be. So we're giving a contrast between what human nature is and what the Holy Spirit can do in an individual that He saves. This is that one that is willing to allow God to work. And I pray that we're all in that way. Who I should be. Now, there are some things in this message that we've heard before in other parts of Scripture, so bear with me. But there might be a reason why we need to rehear some of these things. The Bible repeats itself, and it's emphatic in certain things that it repeats. And repetition aids in learning. So it's a good thing, first of all, we would be reminded of our nature, who we truly are. Human nature is so funny. We are by nature unwilling to admit we're wrong. Do you ever sign up in the morning to be wrong? Do you ever get up in the morning and you make it your goal to admit to all that you're wrong about? Well, I'm wrong about a lot of things. The devil likes to keep you that away. He likes to keep your mind thinking this or your mind thinking that so that you are unwilling to admit that you're wrong. Boy, we can joke and kid in married life that it's hard for the wife to say that her husband is... For a wife to say that her husband is... For a wife to say that her husband is right. There are many men that have a hard time saying, you know, my wife was... My wife is wrong. I'm just kidding. Right. We a lot of times are that away. Every one of us. Hey, I'll tell you what, as a dad, it's really a struggle when your son is right or your daughter is right. It's hard as a leader in a home to admit that you're wrong and somebody might know something or be able to make it right. There's something in the church house. And you know, beloved, I've told you, if I'm gone, and I'm very particular who I allow to fill this pulpit. But when I'm gone, if somebody stands up and says something they shouldn't, you, men and women of this church, ought to stand up and say, hey, that's not right. We must all, not that God needs us to, but by the love for God, we ought to be all of us willing to stand up against wrong preaching, wrong doctrine, wrong wording. Things that are heretical in nature, that are not in this Bible. God does not need us to be guardians, but we ought to look at ourselves as being guardians. Guardians of the truth, how God created male and female and nothing else. How that God wants a man to marry a woman, not a woman marrying a woman or a man marrying a man. These vulgarities are coming out of pulpits all across America. Not too long ago, I saw a woman that was a pastor of a Methodist church that had a pride flag behind her. We are by nature unwilling to admit that we're wrong. We are by nature unwilling to admit that we need to repent. Have we not preached on this before? Many of us have a hard time admitting that we need to repent. Well, you'll never repent until you realize you're wrong. That's just basic Bible doctrine. There are many times that we need to repent. We know we need to go to our brother or our sister and say, please forgive me. Boy, that means you have to swallow your pride. That means you have to swallow the most disgusting smell in the nostrils of God. Your arrogance. And we all are. But have you noticed that we all go to the bathroom? Have you noticed that we all sweat? Have you all noticed that if we don't take a shower for a day or two, we stink? No, not me. I can go a full month and smell rose fresh. Maybe dead rotten roses. Amen. I remember growing up, and I think it's probably why I... You know, there's a lot of days. It's the shower in the morning to wake up, hot water across the muscle and whatnot, and it just feels good. And then of an evening after I've been out here or out there working or doing this or that, all sweaty from head to toe, if you all know what I mean by that. Your clothes are sweaty, your socks are sweaty. Do I need to go any further than that? I can't go to bed like that. But I was taught that as a child. Not only that, but growing up, get around some of them old timers that didn't have that philosophy. Y'all never met Mr. Terrell. Mr. and Mrs. Terrell would watch us once in a while, and their daughter Betty was the same age as Mom and Dad. And Betty Terrell, she's the one where the little dog come running out, and I was about 5 years old and jumped up in her arms, run up and down her, and about lost her britches because I was climbing her like a tree. Betty Terrell, you had to know her. She had a lift all the time. Now, David, did she love us. But Mr. Terrell, I don't think he believed in taking baths. And I still to this day, I have this problem. I don't want old man smell. And so you put a little bit of cologne on, you put some deodorant on, and we don't like to admit that we actually at times stinketh. But I wonder what I smell like in the nostrils of God. Now I understand, according to the book of Revelation and throughout the scriptures, the prayers of the saints, that's the perfume of heaven. That's a beautiful smell in the nostrils of God. But by nature, I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. And by nature, I don't want to repent. I can stink and smell and smell and stink. But I tell you what, spiritually, the best place to go to is to God and get forgiveness. Admit that I'm wrong so I might smell good in His presence. Well, what a blessing. Who in here would take your work clothes for tomorrow or today and you're going to take them and roll them around where the hogs are at? You're going to take your favorite shirt, your favorite pants, you're just going to roll it around in there and get all that pig smell on it and get this smell on it, and then you're going to wear that to work. Hey, God forbid you come in the church house. I put on my good, I got my clothes on, I'm ready to go, but we stink. No, none of us are going to do that. We're going to want to wash. Why is it spiritually we don't want to wash? Now I realize my past, present and future sins have been washed away. Thank you, King Jesus. But I wonder how many times I'm unwilling to admit I'm wrong and unwilling to repent, and I smell in the nostrils of God. We are by nature unwilling to admit that God is holy. The Pharisee said that in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. To clean up a very much used statement, a lot of people don't think their armpits stink. I clean that up. Okay? And I want you to know that's who I could be. But who I should be is that one who is willing to admit that God is holy, and I am not. This Pharisee said that he is holy. The publican said, I'm not. The publican, standing afar off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. We are by nature unwilling to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to repent. We have a hard time admitting that God is holy. We are by nature unwilling to admit that we must submit to God. You know, that's why we have a hard time saying to one another, hey, you're right, I was wrong. Y'all with me? That's what our nature is. But I like what the publican said. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me. That's against human nature. But when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in the Word, into your life, over time, I pray you and I'll have this nature. God, would you forgive me? Lord God, would you be merciful to me, a sinner? There's a submission to the fact that God is not a sinner and I am. There's an admission that God is holy, but I am not. And you know, getting people to understand that is wrong. You talk to a Wolverine fan, you can't get them to understand that they're wrong. You know, and all jokingly, we have football coming up. But there are people that'll lose their mind because their Spartans lost, their Wolverines lost, their Hoosiers lost. Hey, I got upset yesterday. Cubs lost. And they are probably got one of the best records in all of baseball right now. Top five for sure. I got upset. They went on a 7-game winning streak. Did real good. And they get up against the Cardinals. They won the first game, but yesterday they lost. The Tigers lost 2 in a row now to the White Sox. We come unglued over that, but we don't humble ourselves. We don't admit to ourselves that in reality, I am only a sinner. Now, I will tell you, being a sinner saved by grace, it is good for me to stand before Him as this publican did and say to that fact, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's why the world wants to step back and they want to blame everything. Well, that's the way I was raised. I'm going to tell you right now, 99% of the people were raised pretty good. Make your bed. Put your dirty clothes in the laundry. Go wash your clothes. Fold your clothes. And when you put your clothes back in your dresser drawer, put your clothes down in there and shut the drawer, please. Amen. Don't leave your shoes out in the way of everybody to trip over. What are some other things? If you got snot rolling, go blow your nose. Don't sit around there and pick it all the time and then want to shake somebody's hand. You know, beloved, there's a lot of things that we've been taught. But the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This is who I should be. Oh, Lord, that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. Anybody in here other than me say something that they shouldn't have? Nah, I'm the only one in this room that'll admit it. Mom always said, if you haven't got something nice to say, then don't say nothing at all. There was a cartoon that we used to watch back from, it was out of Indianapolis on Channel 66, and Cowboy Bob, he'd finish every one of those little shows with, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I think it actually came probably from Gene Autry. Gene Autry had some great statements. Gene Autry said, I've never met a stranger, just a friend I've never met before. Boy, Grandpa used to always say that. And I kind of got that philosophy. I've never met a stranger, just a friend I'd never met before. My kids and my wife, and they'll get all upset. What's Dad doing? Oh, he's probably making friends somewhere. Hey, in this world, I got a lot of enemies. I'm hoping on having more friends than enemies when God takes me from this old rock. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Imagine how merciful God's been to you today. You got clean clothes on? That's mercy. Did you eat yet? Hey, did you have some coffee yet? God's been merciful. Did you get a kiss from your wife, husband? I did. Well, I kind of like that. Then I got a kiss from my dog. I got a hug on Jamie, and Jamie will tell you, and Opie will be back here. And I said, all right, come here, buddy. Hey, that's a merciful God. No one else is able to forgive every sin. Now, there are some things that I can forgive, but because I'm human, they're in the back of my mind. There's a lot of things in the back of my mind right now from everybody in my life, and I have to learn to leave that in the yesterday. But how many times do we allow our yesterdays to affect our todays? Oh, here comes that. Last Sunday, Brother Josh, Brother Doyle, Brother Ray, he called me up there and he said, Brother Garvin, won't you come sing for us? Lord, put something on your heart. Go ahead and preach to us a minute. I said, all right, buddy. And they'd already had two other preachers that were slated to preach. And I just stood up there and I did, It Is Finished. But I did it from the standpoint of I've had some bad days. Had some bad days here, bad days there, bad days, and went on explaining different things. But let me tell you about some good days. Good day was in April of 75, March of 75, they picked up two little brats to take to church. How that God gave me, and I kept going through the good days. Good days. I mentioned to them that at the end of the month of August, the last Sunday night of August, me and Miss Jamie would be dating for 40 years. Of course, she was already liking me before then. I mean, look at all this massive muscle and this perfect charisma and this very vogue. What are y'all laughing about? I know where you live. You better agree with me. No, I'm just kidding. God's been merciful. There is no one else that can forgive you of every sin. Even when I have trouble of forgiving others, if you'll ask God to forgive you, He will. And there's not a sin He can't forgive. Thank you, Lord, for that. Because there's been a bunch of junk in my life as well as yours. When others won't forgive you, God will if you'll just repent. And you'll be surprised how much better life gives when you are willing to repent before Him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, this publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because there's no one else that can forgive every sin. There's no one else willing to forgive. No one else that's able, but now no one else that's willing. God is able to forgive. God is willing to forgive. There's a lot of us that have been done wrong by others, and we go the rest of our life unwilling and unable to forgive that individual. That ain't right. A lot of people on earth hold grudges. And you know what's amazing to me? It's selective grudging. Y'all know what I mean? Because there are some people in your life, no, that person's been good to me. I know they did me wrong, but I'm just going to be, because you're so super spiritual, like the Pharisee, you know, I'm going to forgive them. But then there's others, no, I ain't forgiving that one. I don't care. And then you're the one that has the root of bitterness that grows into a forest of bitterness. No good to the birds, no good to any wildlife in that forest. Creates darkness, it creates despair. Well, God is able and God is willing. And beloved, that's who we should be. Oh my word. The things that President Obama did, President Clinton, President Bush, even there are a few things, even Trump, that hurts my heart. I have a hard time forgiving the man that said all these people want to do is cling to their Bibles and guns. Well, yeah, it's because of enemies like you. You know, beloved, can you all explain to me how a man can give our enemy billions of dollars and is not in jail? Yep. God says, that's part of my plan, David. You don't realize it, but I allowed it to happen. I don't understand that. I'll never forgive him. But you know, friends, it's not my place to have a grudge like that. Some of the things that our governor has done now and some of our other politicians. But let me say this. There are people in your life that have done things similar. Not only be able and willing. God is now not only able and willing to forgive, but there is no one else that's good and ready to forgive the repentant sinner. In the book of Psalms, we find out that He is good and ready. Our problem is we're not as good as we think we are, and we're very rarely ready to not only go before Him and get forgiveness, but also to forgive others. And there's a lot of times that my dad and I just loved him dearly, but, you know, I don't even want to be around him. Well, that's not exactly the righteous thing to do, especially if you're going to love and respect your parents like the Bible tells us to. I remember in the last few years, Dad's mind was going and things like that. And I seen him the day before he passed away. As soon as I walked in, the first thing he was saying was, David, forgive me. David, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Daddy, it's all under the blood. Thank God for the blood. You're right, Dad. Thank God for the blood. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your struggle is. But I got a feeling you got a lot of problems with the fact you can't admit yourself as wrong and then get it right. I think maybe we ought to stop the message right now and open up the altars and just come pray. Because every one of us is guilty of being the Pharisee before we're ever the publican. Are you willing to bow the knee before the holy, righteous God Almighty? That's who we should be. That's who we should be. Jamie and I will joke around the house. Are you in my way or am I in your way? Well, I'm old enough now and have seen enough that I'm glad she's in my way regardless. There's some people who used to walk this earth that I sure wished were in my way again. Boy, I don't know about you. I miss Pastor Charlie. Mom and I will talk about it. Mama Peggy's not doing good, and she's 90, and what a godly woman and influence she was. I miss Pastor Charlie. I miss a lot of those old-timers that are no longer around. I want to say, but we'll get so irritated with one another. I don't understand our thinking and our philosophy and our just downright stupidity. Y'all ever get around those people that create drama in your life? You're going to miss them. My mom's always reminding me, you'll miss me when I'm gone. Yeah, Mom, it might take me a couple years, but no, I'm just kidding. Are you willing to bow the knee before the holy and righteous God Almighty? Boy. Are you willing to bow the knee before the truth of God's Word? Yesterday in speaking to Tim, I did ask him that question. I said, what if I'm right? What if this Bible is right, that New Testament is right? What are you going to do with that? A lot of people are not only, they're not willing to bow the knee like the Pharisee, but they're not willing to bow the knee before the truth of God's Word. We have selective, what's the word am I looking for? Selective choosing of God's truth. Oh, praise God. Amen. David defeated Goliath. Glory to God. Then we get into passages like 1 Peter, and the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Ah, wait a minute, God. You know, I just can't do that. Listen, beloved, we're not going to live a sinless life after we've been saved. But if you do it God's way, you'll be a whole lot better off and a whole lot less sin. We are unwilling a lot of times to bow before the truth of God's Word. There are a lot of churches that have got a woman preacher. There's no Bible for that. There's a lot of churches that don't even have a Bible. They got some version. And those versions are godless. Those versions are powerless. Those versions don't help anybody. There are churches that have doctrine that's not right. This morning, you're not in one of those churches, I pray. You're not in a church that would tell you, well, when you get baptized, that water washes your sin away. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash your sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the words of my daddy, thank God for the blood. So often, Christian, we'll read our Bible, but we will not bow the knee before the truth of the Word of God. And that leaves us in a bad predicament, because now all of a sudden we're not willing to submit ourselves before a holy and righteous God. When was the last time you got on your knees and with tears flowing down your eyes, God, I've made a mess of my life. God, would you help me? Tears flowing, snot a rolling, on your knees for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You wonder what your problem is? You're not willing to bow the knee before a holy and righteous God. You're not willing to bow your knee before the truth of God's Word. This is who we should be. Are you willing to humble yourself before God to repent? There's a whole bunch of you in here who are willing to admit that you're wrong. Now, we all have that in our human nature. Some worse than others. You won't admit that you're stubborn. You won't admit that you're foolish. We won't admit that we know less than what we think. We're so unwilling to admit it. When I deal with Democrats, well, you're just a Republican. No, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even some of them Republicans are a bunch of mealy-mouthed, milquetoast, wimps. And I got other words for them, but I can't say them. Y'all know exactly what I mean. I think it's a shame that Congress has got to pass a law so you show an ID. That should already be a given. Yeah. And there ought to be American people that have enough uprightness that they say you're not allowed to vote here. But the problem is they can't win on the stage of ideology. So they have to create lies and tell them long enough that people believe them. There's no Republican alive that wants an old person to lose their insurance. But how many times do you see political ads that show that? Hello? We believe lies because we're not willing to bow our knee before righteous and holy God. We believe lies because we're not willing to bow our knee before the truth of the Word of God. We're not willing to repent and to humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God. Well, this publican sure did, didn't he? The Pharisee is who we could be, but the publican's who we should be. Well, lastly, and I'll be done, are you willing to humble yourself? Now, I realize God wrote this verse to the nation of Israel, but he told them in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He tells them he'll heal their land. Our land is very sick today. You have neighbors that are living lives that if you knew about it, make you vomit. But in the same breath, you live a life that causes God to vomit. Hey, beloved, are you willing to humble yourself like this publican did? Here's the blessings of all this. Verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. You want to be justified? Bow your knee before the holy and righteous God Almighty. You want to be justified this morning? Bow the knee before His truth. You want to be justified? Humble yourself and repent. You want to be justified? Humble yourself before Him. I don't know what you're dealing with, but this, in everything that we deal with, all the problems, all this, all that, are you willing to humble yourself? Well, who should we be? You can be like a Cub fan for 108 years, be a Cub fan before they win. Somebody said they might win the World Series this year. I said, no, it's only been 10 years. We got 98 to go. You might be like this person or that person, and you wonder, you know, what's going to happen in the future? What's happening today? What's this? Beloved, it doesn't matter. Have you humbled yourself? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to be like this publican and ask God to be merciful? Father, this morning, I don't know what struggles all people are dealing with, whether they're upset about sports, they're upset about their job, they're upset about this or about that. In all reality, I pray, God, we would examine ourselves. Lord God, I don't know what this message is doing in hearts. I know what it's doing in mine, and I ask you forgiveness. I pray that we would humble ourselves before you and be like this publican and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. God's dealing with your heart. This old-fashioned altar's open, this old mourner's bench. God's dealing with your heart. You come on now. You know you need to repent. You know you need to kneel your whole person. Come on, Christian. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come on? Please. Well, everything between me and God is okay. You're a liar. And you're lying to yourself. Well, I got things right this morning. Maybe so. I don't know about you, but I think I want to stay in a kneeling state if I can. God's working on your heart. Would you come on? Your problem is not the circumstances of your life. Your problem is the fact that you won't admit that you need God. God's dealing with your heart. You come on, Christian, please. Please, Christian.
No one comes in a moment. We'll end the invitation. God's dealing with your heart. Would you come on, Christian? If you look this way a minute, the New Baptist breads are up there. If you'd like to have one, you may just come and get it. It's right here. Let's run out of them, okay? Well, praise the Lord. Let's go eat some food. Father, I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name for allowing us today to meet freely, to read the word and to preach the word and to love the word. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to us, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And I praise you for it. Help us to not be what we could be, but to be what we should be. Lord, help us to have that heart and that tenderness of God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I love you, Lord. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go get some food ready. Hallelujah.